she said, you know, what did you do this week? And I said, oh, I was playing some games with Bobby last night because we've been playing some WoW. And she's like, oh, Bobby came over. I was like, babe, you're fine. You're cute. No, Bobby did not come over last night.
Yeah, the biggest thing for Sam to swallow, I think, when she started dating me.
Yeah. Other than the obvious?
Yeah, other than the obvious.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That part was easy.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of DL Gaming. We're here with the full crew. We've got Emilio.
Hey.
Chad.
Yo.
Chi.
Hey.
And myself, Bobby.
My voice is on point today.
Yeah, he's trying really hard, though. You could tell.
He's sounding a little sultry.
The posture's looking good.
Now you have to do it for the whole entire episode.
I think it's because I actually drank last night.
Yeah. Oh, was that your first time drinking since your...
Yeah, for like 3 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, how do you feel today?
Not fine.
You got drunk pretty quick, though, huh?
I think the whole party, Chad's birthday, I don't know, something about that makes everybody go to bed early. Everybody was home by 11.
That we're all old now.
Well, we were rolling sushi, so we were working, and then we ate it, and then I'm pretty sure.
Rolling sushi.
You know, that's what it was, Chad. I think everybody, so...
Like, we tried too hard to eat.
My ratios were way off. I ate so much rice yesterday.
Yeah.
And so everybody just put everybody to sleep.
Rolling sushi is not a slang for some sort of narcotic or sexual position. That was us actually doing a sushi making class. So
it was fun.
It was fun.
I feel like rolling sushi should be a term.
Yeah, doesn't it?
That sounds like it could mean something dirty.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I rolled their sushi. No way.
Yeah. Or like some sort of drug reference.
Or a combination of both.
Yeah.
I guess we could always Urban Dictionary it.
I'm sure there's something in there.
Good times. All right. So we don't really have anything for the intro here. So I guess we'll just skip right into the big news, which is No Man's Sky finally released for the PC 5 days after the console release.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which was way too early.
9th and 12th?
Okay, maybe 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they should have held off at least a month or 6 months because the port is really bad. If you go right now, well, when I first clicked on it, it was like 49% of people said that they liked it.
So it was 53 when I checked this morning.
And it's been climbing steadily. So I think the day one patch really helped a lot.
33,000 reviews last time I looked.
Yeah. So it was up to 58% positive when last I checked. But I had to see for myself what was going on. So, and I usually don't have issues with running things when people have really bad experiences. So, and that was the case this time too. I really, you know, there was some slowdown and there was definitely some tearing here and there. But it wasn't game breaking. And I got the gist of the game. Let me just say right off the bat, I can't recommend it for $60. I think the general consensus is that this is like a $20 game that wrapped up in a AAA thing. But maybe what you're paying, you know, this little tiny team, I think they had like 10 guys on their squad when they started this, and they've been working on it for 5 years. I think they had really high hopes, and they were really shooting for the stars and maybe landed a little flat, although they did a lot for what they for such a small team and how much financing they had, or that I assume that they had. So they did really well with the tools that they had, but it is not a AAA title, at least not yet. I think there's a lot there where things can, there's a lot of potential. Literally a galaxy worth of potential. You could do whatever you want with this game. And then I don't know how they hid this for so long, but it is a single player game. Mostly. You will be able to, if you discover something and then somebody else discovers something, if you're the first one there, I think you go down as the first one to ever discover it.
The discoverer.
Yeah. Yeah. But then if somebody else finds it after that, then it would be like you've now found it as well, kind of thing. So you're kind of like finding the same things. So they said that it'd be impossible or semi-impossible for people to meet. So two guys on Reddit did it already. They've met and they couldn't see each other and they couldn't hear each other. So, and they couldn't see when the other one changed things in the world in front of the other one. So it really isn't multiplayer. You're just experiencing the same kind of like, I don't know, multiple dimensions of the same.
Are they occupying the same space? So like they will be able to see the same thing that the other person sees. Like each user is not getting a different world to be in. They're all in the same world, but they just can't see each other.
I'm not sure because one did, you know, they tried to manipulate the environment. Mm-hmm. And the other one couldn't see that the manipulations.
But they were on the same planet.
They're on the same planet.
And the planet looked identical.
Right.
Meaning the RNG isn't set up to be just.
So in one person's game, there may be a mountain here and a valley there. And then in someone else's game, there may be a valley here and a mountain there.
Like no, I think the mountain and the valley are still in the same spots.
Okay.
Yeah, but once you change something, let's say you, I don't know. Shoot a rock.
That's a huge surprise to me because I was totally expecting like a multiplayer aspect of this game. Like,
it makes sense.
But there are some tricky things about it. So it's on the box. If you buy the box, the collector's edition, it says PEGI 12 or whatever on the back, like a lot of things do. But if you pull that sticker off, it says multiplayer game underneath. So I don't know if they, you know, I have no idea what's going on here. Maybe they intended it to be multiplayer, and the last minute they pulled it because they couldn't pull off what they said they were going to.
It so, seems like they had all these grand plans but needed to get it out, you know, especially with a small team. You run into delays and everything like that. And so I think they probably had plans to make it multiplayer, and maybe it will, you know, maybe a patch down the road will make it multiplayer.
And it doesn't say anything about early access on the Steam page. So is this considered a full release?
Yep.
Oh, okay. But they're obviously going to be patching it as time goes by.
I imagine. They're having so much money coming in.
I'm going to label this as unintentional bait and switch. You know, it seems like they promised all these things and they fell short. But I don't think it was intentional. I really think that they tried their hardest to pull it off.
Well,
and maybe in the coming years, it'll get better.
What exactly did they promise that they didn't deliver on?
Early on, they were talking about you being able to teleport to your friends and playing like multiplayer. So there's that. Mm. And you know, it just doesn't run very well, and it's not that good. It doesn't look that great on PC, but. You know, that could just be the porting process.
So are people having trouble running the game?
That's what probably 90% of the complaints are about.
It looks really pretty, though.
Yeah, like, I mean, is it like a Batman Arkham Asylum or Arkham whatever, Origins,
City?
Knight, whatever
Arkham
the last
City?
One was, where it looks great, but it just has trouble running, or does it just not look very good to begin with?
You know, the pixelation, there's pixelation, but the colors and everything, it's somewhere in between, to be honest. It's not very sharp textures, but a beautiful landscape at the same time. And there's a lot of drawing when you're running around and just clipping and just a lot. But then, you know, I was in a cave today, Chat saw. It was fucking gorgeous in there. There's like all these like little lightning bugs running around and stuff. Yeah. And when you see fauna, you see this animal and you're like, okay, how big is that? Because you don't know because you just see it on the horizon, right?
Oh.
And then you're like, is it hostile? It's pretty exciting when you see a new animal. Mm. And sometimes you'll be the first person to ever see that animal. And you can catalog it, and you get points for cataloging the animal. So,
oh, that's cool.
But you have to get a certain amount of, you know, you got to get close enough to be able to catalog it.
Is that like the main objective of the game? Like, what exactly are you doing in this game?
I think kind of surviving. It's crafting survival at its root, I think.
Mm. So is there like hunger, thirst?
Not so much as you have to keep your suit powered. You have to keep your
radiation suit
powered, your life support powered, and your ray gun that your multi-tool. You got to get it, keep them all powered. So you have to constantly be feeding that, like constantly, like every 3 minutes. You have to if you're using them all. You have a jetpack, which makes getting around a little easier. It took me about an hour to get my plane working. And then,
so you describe when you first start out, because
your plane crashed and you need a bunch of
and it just crashes you in a random planet.
Well, it's your own planet. Yeah. Uh-huh. So nobody should have been on. Well, maybe somebody's been there by now, but it is your own planet. And so I saw this video of, you know, I didn't go to any other planets. I literally took off into space, destroyed some asteroids, and then I had to come do the podcast. So,
but you were on the planet for a couple hours trying to figure out.
Yeah, it took me about an hour. It was very stupid because I was seeing if I was going to return this game, and I ended up returning it only because I think I want to pay less and I want a better game. You know, I want it to all the PC fixes to be fixed, and maybe the price will go down quickly because of all these negative reviews.
$60 is a lot. That's like top. That's about as much as you can charge for a game.
Yeah. So I would say at 3:30 today, I put in for my refund. I've never done it before, and at 4 o'clock, it got approved, and I got my money back.
Wow, that's
so
awesome!
That was pretty impressive. I was pretty impressed.
First time
with
the Steam refund process.
Yeah, and I had actually gone over 2 hours. It said 2 hours on my thing, so I think it was very much borderline of whether or not they were going to do it. But I don't know. I went through the systems check, and it worked out. Now the good size of this game. There's definitely a sense of wonder, like what's around the next corner. But on the other side of that is like, when will that run out? When are you playing a game for 20 hours, are you really going to still be like, oh, I really wonder what's on this other thing? But although, you know, within 2 hours, I was already going from planet to planet. So that's pretty exciting, too. How long would it take to check one solar system? You know, it's probably like, I don't know, 20, 30 hours just for one solar system, and this is an entire universe. And it's nobody can still answer that question of how new is this random generator, how exciting, and what kind of discoveries are going to be. Are they going to be enough to keep you going, or are you just going to be seeing the same Legos over and over?
Well, in terms of crafting, how extensive is the crafting? You know, is there time? Is there day and night? Do you have to sleep in this game?
I don't think you have to sleep. There was a day and night, but I think it varies from planet to planet. I don't know, although I'm very interested to see if there's different gravity levels in these things. So there's that. There's a lot of questions. I don't know. But there are a ton of different, you know, when you're crafting things, you're crafting it from their base route. You're like going for plutonium and zinc, and then you like build whatever you need out of that stuff. So you could get zinc out of plants, or you could get carbon out of creatures that you killed. You're really going for base materials here. So it's kind of like all over the place, but some are really rare, like plutonium.
It's kind of like elements, and then you have like kind of a crafting station, basically, that creates base elements.
I'm having my biggest problem in the game right now, I mean, as far as like in-game, is my inventory. It's constantly running out, and I don't know what's important, what's not important. Like, I picked up this thing that like this one alien race really digs, and I'm like, I'm not even in space yet. I could probably chuck this thing. So I threw that away, but I can't recommend it. I'm going to wait till, you know, I think they tweeted something out, like vigorously working to fix all the PC's problems. But who knows? So hopefully the price will drop and the quality will get better, because still, even after it's come out, there's massive potential here. It's just up to them to realize it.
So this game had an interesting launch in the fact that they basically didn't give any review copies out to reviewers.
Yeah.
And so the review copies end up getting, the people that were reviewing it officially ended up getting the copies of it from locations that were actually selling the disc early. And since they didn't do a disc version of PC, basically none of the PC reviewers did not get it early. So the game's still being reviewed, like, now.
Yeah, if you go to any website, they're all saying review in process.
Yeah.
In progress, I mean.
I read a good article on Gamasutra about basically why issues like this happened, because early copies of No Man's Sky was very buggy and had a lot of issues. And it just comes down to the way the manufacturing and retail works is you basically have to have final code weeks before it actually goes live. And so I think as we go more and more digital, we'll see less and less of this, but we're still constrained with manufacturing and
Bobby, can you go to the show notes? I want to see what the number was again. I didn't put it on. I think it was 300,000 people were playing at one time, making it the biggest launch in Steam this
212,000.
Oh, 212. Peak, okay, yeah. I was off by 100,000.
Yeah, that is quite a bit, though. Yeah. Currently, 102,000 people are playing right now at this moment. So it's got a huge player base. It seems like the really... It seems like the foundation of a really good game here.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, all these games are trying to be like this all-encompassing, like Ready Player One experience, Star Citizen and a lot of these other games. And it seems like that's such a big task that they're going to have to like take a game like this and kind of build on top of that.
That's it's what
kinda
I see. Like,
it's kind of like the MMO world. You know, like World of Warcraft didn't start off with PvPs and arenas and battlegrounds and pets and all this other stuff that comes along with it. They started with just the base game of WoW and started just implementing these things. And that's some of the struggles that MMOs run into now is they have to compete with a game that's been out for 8 years and all the different add-ons they had. I think this new space, this Star Citizen, Elite Dangerous, No Man's Sky space is the same way where we have this expectation of all these different things, but they kind of have to start at the ground floor.
Yeah.
Unless a developing company is willing to put years of work and years of loss into a game, they kind of have to do it this way.
Yeah. It's going
to
be a lot of building on the shoulders of others.
Exactly.
Who knows? This might end up being an MMO in 4 years. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
There's a lot of directions they can go with this.
I'm really interested in the game. Just watching you play the little things I was seeing, I was like, wow, this is kind of right up my alley. The thing that I'm not interested in is it doesn't seem to have an objective. It's not like, what was it, Starbound, where you're trying to get to the center of the universe?
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing in this.
So no quest, it's just survivability against what? Mostly hostile objects or your own...
Not other players,
out of resources?
Yeah,
what puts your survivability at risk the most?
Nothing.
So
well,
exploration. Once
so it's more so of an
sure
exploration game. Then.
Yeah. There's also space battles and stuff like that that I think you can get
for sure. Because I was already finding upgrades for my ship, so you're going to get in space battles for sure. So maybe you're going down into the planets to try to find resources to upgrade your ship. That's one route you can go. But this is one of the, or you can just go from planet to planet and try to catalog as many animals.
But you
as
still can't just go planet to planet because you run out of resources constantly. So it's kind of like Faster Than Light, where you have to like stop on planets and mine and do what you need to do.
Every time you take off, it takes 25% of your fuel. So you can only take off four times. You got to go get more plutonium. Plutonium seems to be the thing that runs everything.
Yeah. So I'm stoked about this game. I know that I'm probably not going to get it for the PC right away, but
the only reason I was going to keep it, Chad, is so that you could play. So I was fine. That's why I went over 2 hours. But I figured I might as well try. Because, you know, I'm just going to wait until it gets all patched up anyway. So even if I still owned it, I'm going to wait. So maybe once it gets patched up, hopefully it does, the price will drop as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. $60, that is a lot of money. And because this is an independent developer, it's kind of hard to tell what they're going to do with the price. You know, when a Borderlands game comes out, I can pretty much... accurately predict what that price is going to be in a couple months. You know it's going to drop significantly, but who knows what they'll do with this. Some indie devs are like real stingy about it and will not drop their price after a while.
Do you think it's because also it's a console game that the price will maybe stick to the higher point?
Yeah, that too.
That happens a lot too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Although they've sold, I mean, according to Steam charts, it looks like they've sold a lot of copies.
So I looked up you know, I wanted to know, I couldn't find any reviews that weren't about how it was doing on the hardware. So I went to the PSN or PlayStation 4 reviews and I figured, okay, that's how I know where the actual game, how good the game is. And I think it's 4 out of 5 stars. So it's, even when it's running as it should, it's still not blowing people away.
Well, 4 out of 5 is good.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 is good, but it's not, you know.
Yeah.
I think... I don't know if No Man's Sky would have ever been a super successful launch just with the expectations that were already there. It reminds me of Evolve or some of these other games. Like, the expectation, and especially how early they teased this. This game's been teased for like three years now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
They did a really good job of making it mysterious, though.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And even while now that it's out, it's still mysterious, which is weird. I mean, they've done a really good job with hiding its flaws and showing off its strong points. For $60, I could have bought four copies of Overcooked, and I think that would have been a better investment.
Segue.
Gee, what'd you think of Overcooked?
Overcooked is so much fun. I think I'm quoting myself when I say, let's not podcast, let's just play Overcooked all day and then come back and podcast tomorrow.
I would have been totally happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody break it down.
How do you describe Overcooked?
Four-player local co-op. It is a cooking game, but really it's just a task clusterfuck.
Yeah, it's kind of a...
What do they call those games? Because there's a similar cooking game called Cook Serve Delicious that I played, which is very similar to this, except you don't actually control a character moving around. You're just clicking and dragging items into the...
Is that one multiplayer also?
No, it is not. But what sets this apart is... It's multiplayer, local co-op only. You are in a 3D space where you have to control characters and move them around. So it's kind of like a fumble core almost.
It isn't
hard to control, but it's hard to like synergize with your teammates because you're constantly bumping into each other.
Yeah,
and you're trying
to
divide up the tasks, and then everybody keeps going to different tasks because they're like, well, I'm right here near the chopping station. I'll just chop these onions real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of calling out of shit that I imagine gets called out in real kitchens. Like I was saying, order up, and
we need more onions.
I need the works over here.
Somebody to get on the dishes. Somebody get on the dishes.
And I think since we're in the first world, you know, world 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4, I think it's teaching us a lot of stuff. So there was this one level where it was very linear, and the whole kitchen was just one pathway.
Mm-hmm.
So we first started working all clockwise. We were going around kind of trying to get everything done. Then eventually we ended up where like everybody had a quadrant of the track, and that ended up working better. And that's the first one we got a gold star in, I think, after the first one.
Yeah.
And that really taught us how to synergize. But then the next one, you had all the room in the world, but there was earthquakes. So that would fuck with the whole program. And you had to kind of learn how to synergize without the track being there. And so it's all over the place. And it's so much fun.
Yeah, that's a wrench they throw into the whole thing. On certain levels, there's different variables that happen. Like one was like on a ship that slid back and forth. So the map changes. The area that you're working in changes. And it just makes it all the more difficult.
So... Guys, if there was only three of us or two of us, would you still say yes on this game? Because obviously one person, I would struggle to see the fun. Because
how do you even play this with one? There's NPCs?
I don't know. You might do a lot better because, you know, well, do they put in PC players? I mean, we haven't even tried this single player. We don't know what that's like. I mean, maybe they put in PC-controlled characters that do their best, or maybe you're just on your own.
But this game would be perfect for people that don't necessarily play a whole lot of games because it's two.
Oh,
it's literally two buttons,
three buttons. Yeah.
And it's one screen. Like, you're not having to move the screen or anything like that. You're just controlling your guy and trying to accomplish tasks.
Anybody could play this game.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I feel like a lot of this has to do with communication. That's why I like it that it's a strictly in-person LAN, a multiplayer game. Because we had to talk to each other and I'm sure we were confusing each other. I was calling out names because you're four different colors. I'm like, blue, what are you doing?
Yeah,
blue.
Exactly. You don't even know who people are. You're just calling
chop it up.
Out.
Yeah. Dude, out of my way.
Clown Lotion and his family are going to love this game because it's him and his wife play and his two kids play. So, like, the whole family could play this game and I could just see them... I don't know.
Getting
after dinner,
arguments.
They go make virtual dinner.
Yeah.
The only downside to this game is that it is only local co-op, and it just you know, if you don't have that opportunity, fortunately, we're able to play a lot of these co-op games and get the full value out of it, get the full experience, the intended experience out of it, because we have four people. But, I mean, how many times, other than us here, how many times does that happen where you have four people playing a game?
Pretty often in my house, but that's different.
Yeah, and yeah. I guess growing up for me, there was always, I guess being younger, it wouldn't be an issue having siblings and or friends.
Marriage and kids change everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you get automatic teammates there.
But I think like a lot of the gamer community, we've gotten kind of lazy about not showing up at other people's houses and stuff. Mm-hmm. You can do so many things digitally. But you know, gaming comes from a culture of like D&D and stuff like that, where you guys would all get together and play board games and you would play a game together. I think
that's a generational thing, because for us being older, when we say, hey, let's play some games together, like originally to me, that always meant, okay, yeah, I'll come over and I'll take player two controller and you take player one. And how we play multiplayer. I mean, the first time that, like Emilio and I discovered that we were gamers, he was like, oh yeah, we'll play some TF2. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, I just got a gaming laptop. I'll come over and we'll do that. And then I realized, shit, we don't even need to.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. People nowadays just kind of assume, okay, multiplayer online, there we go.
Actually, it's just the opposite. Like I have all that local co-op set up in my room and stuff. And then Chad will be like, do you want to play something? Yeah. And then he'll go, okay, let me go to my room.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? It's so weird.
That's nice.
I had a story earlier this week when my girl got here for all the festivities this week.
Happy birthday, Chad.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for the 80th time. She said, you know, what did you do this week? And I said, oh, I was playing some games with Bobby last night, because we've been playing some WoW. And she's like, oh, Bobby came over. I was like, babe, you're funny. You're cute. No, Bobby did not come over last night.
Yeah, the biggest thing for Sam to swallow, I think, when she started dating me, is
other than the obvious.
Yeah, other than the obvious.
Oh my gosh,
that part was easy. Was that I would drink and play games with my friends, but my friends that were drinking and I was playing with were not in the room with me. Right.
Yeah.
So like I'm having a fucking party.
Yeah.
And it's all in my headset. You can't hear any of it. And people are, you know, I'm interacting with real people and they're drinking and we're playing.
Yeah.
But for her, it's like crickets. You know,
she's just hearing your side while you're laughing and having a good time.
That's how I feel as a Twitch streamer. You know, I've been in San Diego almost 3 years now, and I would say I didn't have real life friends except for like for probably a good year and a half.
Yep.
And it's funny that I say real life friends. It's like I knew people, but they weren't my friends in the sense that we have common interests. So that's why I was really big on streaming. I was in a new city, and instead of going out and interacting and meeting new people, I was like, I'm just going to start up a Twitch page and meet, you know, gamers. And my favorite thing to do and I'm a bartender, and I'm the most sober bartender. I don't drink at work. And people are like, when do you drink? I'm like, I drink bottles of wine and play video games.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Which is so dangerous because you have no idea how drunk you're getting, because you're just exactly. sitting down. Like physically, you're like doing a whole lot. And then you like stand up to go pee and you're like, holy
what
shit,
I'm
fuck?
Wasted. Yeah.
Wobble into your bathroom.
Which one of these toilets should I pee in?
Now, that happens to me a lot, too, when I mention a friend of mine, or I say, like, oh, yeah, I was playing a game with this person, and people assume that it's just, like, in a, like, it's somebody local, but it's somebody far, far away.
Yep.
But I don't know. I feel like that's kind of leaving the general populace. Like, people kind of understand now. But, you know, you have a game like Overcooked that comes around and kind of just reverts back to that old school feeling of just sitting in a room with people playing a game. I mean, you remember, like, consoles, they used to only have two controllers, and then they moved to four.
What was the first one that did that? Does anybody know? N64? No.
Did Sega Saturn? I think...
I was the Dreamcast?
The Genesis, I thought, had four players.
Genesis. GameCube for sure did.
I thought it was the Genesis? Had...
I don't think so.
No, dude, Genesis?
No.
Did the Nintendo have the four controllers?
I'm saying Sega Saturn.
I'm thinking it's Dreamcast.
Dreamcast is right after the Saturn. Nope, Sega Dream or Saturn only had two.
You might you mean the actual ports built into the
GameCube? I think
it's got to be GameCube. GameCube had it.
Dreamcast came out
Nintendo
before
64.
GameCube.
Nintendo 64.
All right, Dreamcast had four. What came out? The N64 or what came out first? The N64 or the Dreamcast?
The N64 did.
We have to just Google who came out with four controllers first.
Yeah, see, the N64 has it.
Okay. Had it.
Yeah, they did it, Nintendo.
And that's why GoldenEye was fucking so huge. Oh, yeah. Somebody remade GoldenEye. Is that for PC, Chad? Did you see that?
It is for PC, but yeah. I don't know what it's modding. I don't know if it's a mod on a game that's already out.
Yeah, they updated the graphics. I mean, they're not glorious Doom graphics or anything, but fuck, they're a shit ton better than the original graphics.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if there's some nostalgia that you have, even the shooting.
It's a free mod, too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So Overcooked was made by Team 17, the same guys that made all the Worms games. So this is kind of a new direction for them, but I think they did a hell of a job.
So as of right now, if for a party game, is Overcooked the top of the list for you guys for a party game for
PC?
Heck
yes.
Yeah,
I'm actually,
absolutely.
I'm ready to set up a party this week to play with you guys.
It might be too early to tell, but is this better than Gang Beasts for a party game?
I don't, well, Gang Beasts only does one thing. Yeah. Well, I guess this does too, but
Gang
it changes.
Gang Beasts gets the laugh, so. I mean, we laugh when we play that game.
Yeah, cry so much, yeah.
Move or Die was good, too.
I feel like this one has...
Move or Die is huge. Oh, and I just downloaded, like, last night I downloaded maybe 30 skins for Live or Die.
Oh,
like,
that's
TF2
nice.
Guys, like, all kinds of shit.
Oh, nice.
Batman.
I feel like this one has a lot of replay value in terms of, like, trying to max out your score. Of course, we weren't doing so great in the beginning.
Yeah, you get a star
replaying
value.
The same.
Like you do on mobile games.
And the fact that it's a cooperative game makes it, I think, inherently different.
Although
than
there is
Move
a competitive.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, and there's,
we unlock
there's this thing where you can, like, where one person controls the feet and the other one does the actions.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
so that's really cool.
So I think you can play, like, up to 8 people because you can have 4 controllers and then.
Well, I was thinking for 2 people.
Yeah, that's too many cooks in the kitchen, though.
Yeah.
Boom.
Bobby.
I think he had that one holding.
Yeah, he did. He had a grin on his face before he said
that. That was off the cuff.
So
highly recommend. Go buy this if you have people to play with. No, but what I was saying is maybe if you do that split body one, maybe it'll make it fun for 2 players.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because you're doing...
You're having to work together. Right,
if you're trying to, like, train someone on the game, I don't know.
Yeah.
Highly recommend Overcooked.
So something I got as a gift was I got a Cherry MX Brown. So I now have a new.
Well, those are the keys that you have, dude.
What kind of keyboard is it?
It's a Logitech.
I didn't even know what a Cherry MX Brown meant.
Those are the type of keys you have.
Yeah, The cherries are the types of switches that actually, when you press down on them, those are the actual switches they used. And
brown is the switch for...
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying a Cherry MX Brown can be made by lots of different people?
Yep. Yeah.
Exactly.
So are you finally on the mechanical keyboard level then?
Yeah.
With that?
Correct. So
welcome.
I'm now mechanical keyboard, although I haven't had a chance to... play a whole
so
lot
he
of
got
games.
This new keyboard and he's been playing fucking Hearthstone, which doesn't.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? So I got a new mouse, I got a new keyboard, I got new headphones. I feel like a brand new gamer playing these games.
Bobby, if you search on PC Gamer best keyboard gaming keyboard, that's the one he got.
Yeah. No
and
way,
then we'll
really.
Be able to find it. Matt, I can't say anything about it because I haven't used it. It's got a nice display when you're not using it, huh, Chad?
Yeah, the lights are going and all. It's,
it has like a water ripple effect or something that's going over.
While it's on standby?
Yeah.
I saw so many of those at QuakeCon. A lot of people using these.
So what is this? This is the one he has.
No, that's not the one I have.
That looks like the Black Widow Chroma.
That's the one I have right there.
Are you talking about the lights actually? They aren't under the keys. They're actually in the letters of the keys?
They're in the letters. And you can do like all sorts of different...
What's this one called? The one we're looking at right now.
The Logitech one right there.
The all black.
Yeah.
The G610 Orion.
The G610 Orion Brown. That's correct. Yep. That's the one I have.
Yeah.
So
it's a good looking keyboard. I like the nice simple layout.
It is. And it's got a little button up there that you can dim the lights so you don't have to go into any controls. You can.
It looks a lot like my mechanical keyboard. I am using the Azio. I don't remember the name, but it's AZIO. Mechanical keyboard. It's very simple, clean cut, and you know, it's virtually no extra space outside of the raised keyboards itself.
Oh yeah, it's all
is this what,
there.
Is this what yours is?
It looks virtually identical except a different
very brand. Easy to clean underneath the keys on that one.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
It's easy to clean underneath
the
keys.
Oh yeah, you can just spray easily under that, huh?
Yeah.
I've been
considering getting new peripherals. I don't know. I handled a lot of mice out at QuakeCon, and I was trying to find one that I really liked. And, you know, like the most important feature on a mouse these days, I feel like, is that thumb rest. So your the bottom of your thumb doesn't touch the mouse pad. It just makes your movement so much more cleaner. But I don't know. I really like the setup I have now, even though it's just so old at this point.
Which one?
There's really no reason to change. That's the way I feel about my mouse.
Yeah, well, I have a DOS keyboard, and I buy a new one every time they come out with a new version.
DOS, D-A-S, not D-O-S, right?
Oh, yeah, D-A-S, DOS Keyboard Ultimate, which is the completely blank one, no writing on the keys. There's some other companies that do this. HHK, Happy Hacker Keyboards, which I checked out a few of those. QuakeCon, those are very, very small, tiny keys or keyboards. So, like, I don't think they might make one with a number pad. I'll have to look into it. But I don't know. I'm pretty happy with mine. How loud is the keyboard that you have, Chad?
It's not too bad.
Yeah, because the brown or the blue have that actual clicking sound that they're supposed to make. The brown are supposed to be a little more quiet. But my brown, that's what I have. I have brown Cherry MX ones, and they're pretty loud.
It's about the same sound as a regular keyboard, don't you think, Chad? Yours?
It's a little bit louder than my previous keyboard, which was...
Yeah, I feel like the mechanicals are just loud in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They try to do things to make them a little more quiet, but it's difficult.
What mouse are you rocking right now, Bobby?
The G700, the original version, which, I don't know. That one is pretty old, but I really like it.
You should come over sometime and check my setup out and see what you think.
Well, you have the G502, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I checked out those.
Yeah.
I checked out those ones, and
That would be good.
Oh, is there something new?
They have a gaming keyboard.
Ooh.
The X40, DOS X40.
Yeah, Division Zero, X40.
Yeah, but it's got things printed on the keys. Oh, well.
Looks like it's all color. Like, you can color them up.
Yeah, it's pretty flashy. Yeah, well, perfect.
All right, so
well,
Chad got a new keyboard, but he hasn't used it.
Yep, I will follow up.
So The Last of Us has been this game that I've been wanting to play forever and ever, but it's on the PlayStation only, and people will say, oh, you know, you catch the feels, it has a great story, but I can't enjoy it. So I figure I'd watch the movie, and the movie is somebody that, you know, clipped together all the clips, including the gameplay. He did a really good job of the editing, considering how much work that was. Even edited, it came down to 6.5 hours to watch the whole thing. But I skipped past a lot of the gameplay, just trying to stick to the... I watched a little bit of the gameplay. I ended up watching this in about 2.5 hours, I think it took me. I thought, it's a good story. It had a different ending than what you would expect. The mushroom bad guys are...
the mutants.
Yeah, they're a lot, scarier than zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're just different, you know? Mm. So in case, you know, you're... I don't know. It's a lot of time to invest. I didn't catch the feels, so I don't know if that's because I didn't spend 12 hours with this little girl and I only spent 2 hours with her, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think like there was something lost on it because you just watched the cutscenes but didn't actually play the game?
I think so. It's either that or at the same time I was there was a lot of little eye rolling going on by me because it was so similar to The Walking Dead by Telltale. It was a guy who wasn't the father of the little girl taking care of her during this zombie apocalypse basically. And so I'm like, okay, I know how this is going to end. And the way it ends, huge spoilers. I'm not going to actually even say it, but it's not what you expect. So that was cool. And the way that it wasn't as sad as I thought it was going to be.
I can't believe that I have this game sitting in the living room and you refuse to pick up and play it. it just boggles my mind. It blows me away.
I feel like this is a great game where... I know growing up, I was really big on watching my brother play role-playing games. And The Last of Us is just one of those where, as a spectator, you can almost get the same experience as the person playing the game. And
as far as the story elements, but when I was watching the gameplay, definitely nothing new. It was cover-based shooting.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was like, you know, a lot of eye roll. How many times I saw the little girl go get the ladder on that was a little too high. I'm just like, this is so... wow, this is the best game on PS4? Wow.
But okay, the AI was pretty smart. There's not. It's very far and few where you have.
Appreciate if you're just watching the cutscenes.
It's also like 3 years old or something. Like sure. It's not like a brand new game.
Yeah, 2013.
But it's widely considered one of the best games on PS4, I think, right? So yeah. I don't know.
Which goes a lot for console gaming. He's like, yeah. He's like, this is the best console has to offer.
Let's be serious. You watch a movie about any game. You're gonna say the same thing. Like, you didn't play the fucking game.
Everything that I saw in that game is cover-based shooting, fucking sneaking around guys so they can't hear you. Like, nothing new. Nothing new. What was new was the story. That was what was new.
You know where watching just the cutscenes might work? Some of the Blizzard games. Because I know David is winning has done this with StarCraft. He hasn't played any of the games, but he's watched all the cutscenes just to kind of get the story from it. And I know I've watched the cutscenes of Warcraft 3 without playing the game, but it'd be too difficult for me to tell because I played so much of that game that I can't really differentiate between the two.
But I did enjoy it, so I had the bright idea that I'm going to go watch the cutscene. What do we call these? They called it the movie. The guy who made this said Last of Us the movie. So I'll just call it the movie of Human Revolution, Deus Ex.
Oh, gotcha.
Because I can't get through that game. I hate stealth, but I know that it's a good story. So hopefully somebody clipped that together. So because I want to play the next one, which is Mankind Divided, I believe.
Yeah.
One, they say, is going to be, it's going to be what the first one promised. You could go run and gun, or you could go stealth. You couldn't go run and gun in the first one, even though they give you the options to, and that's how
how I was trying to play Deus Ex.
Yeah, me too.
And I was not. I mean, it was fun dying a lot and finally getting through certain areas.
Did you finish it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I lost my patience with
it's
the game
set up,
as well.
And they've said this. The developers have said, you know, they made errors where they give you the options to go run and gun, but then you had missions where it required stealth. So, like, what the fuck?
I think
you're
going to run
do?
Into the same thing on that game, though. If you try to just watch the cutscenes, like, watch it as a movie and not a game, then I don't think you're going to get as much out of it. Because games like that, part of what makes the story so good is how well they intertwine it with the gameplay. Because that's a difficult thing to do. Make something that's fun to play, but also fun to watch.
Yeah.
Right.
As a relevant story. But
This one had all the gameplay in it. What's that?
I said it took me 25 hours to beat that game. So, I mean, I don't blame anyone for it. It's basically like a Mass Effect game. Like, that's what you're getting into.
It's going to be a long-ass movie. But yeah. I just want to get the story. I have no idea what happened in the story. So
it's the same story you've seen all the time about, machines taking over humanity.
Yeah.
The what's that word? You know,
cyborg?
No.
Symbiotic.
Not symbiotic. The one...
Syndicate.
we're on the right track. It's the one where, like, computers...
Parts of speech.
I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, the dude wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
It'll come to me later. This is, like, the third time I've tried to think of that word on the podcast. Go back, like, a year and a half, this exact same thing happened.
It's not the Event Horizon, but it's very close to that. It's something also that happens in space.
Yeah.
I can't think of what it is.
Yeah, it's the point where, like, machines become self-aware.
Yeah.
I'll look it up, but let's move on to something else. What else has everyone been playing here? Karazhan came out.
Yeah. Am I the only one that's played Karazhan? They have a free prequel, which is one boss. So this is Hearthstone, obviously. This is One Night in Karazhan. So it's Karazhan, but it's party-themed. A lot of, like, 70s disco-style stuff going on. So the opening fight is... So Medivh is hosting a party, and so all these people are showing up, and it's very tongue-in-cheek. They're talking about raid bosses scrambling for invites and stuff like that. So it's tongue-in-cheek. But the first fight, the prequel, is Medivh. They find Prince Malkazar in Karazhan. So it's Medivh getting rid of Prince Malkazar so he can host his party. So you fight Malkazar, and it's... pre-made deck with Medivh and Malkazar, and then when he defeats Malkazar, he pulls Medivh into his kingdom. So then the other four wings, I'm assuming Medivh's gone, and so Moros, who is his steward, is kind of leading you to try to get ready for the party. So in the first wing, the silverware is going crazy, so you have to fight the silverware golem. And then...
That's awesome.
How much do you pay for the whole, all four wings or whatever?
I believe it's 700 gold each wing, or you can get the full one for
$20. Yeah, and usually it's $20 for the full wing.
Are there any keys, are there any cards you can only get through Karazhan?
Yes.
So you have to buy the thing, or with gold?
If you want all the cards, then yes, you need to You need to get Karazhan. Now you can save up your gold and spend 700 per week and open it up that way if you want. So it is potential. You can potentially get it for free.
If you play a lot.
If you play a lot. Hmm. So the fights are good. They're balanced. I went through, for the most part, one of the three fights in this wing is the chess event. And it's really, it's black on white, and it comes with a pre-made deck, and you're trying to, like, get the other side. So it's kind of puts a whole new twist on the Hearthstone one for that fight. So it was some interesting stuff. I was
I guess that's the new mechanic, right? Like different colors. I guess there's some other colors coming in later on in Karazhan.
Oh, is there?
It's just black and white. I don't know, though.
There's another fight in Karazhan that has portals and beams that you need to block beams and stuff. So they probably are going to do some stuff with that.
So they're putting more of the board into like, is, I don't know, like the board is becoming interactive with the cards?
No, this one, the way this one worked for the chess pieces is it would automatically attack whatever was in front of it. So if you were in between two pieces, meaning you had an odd number and they had an even, so to speak.
Like backgammon?
They would hit both the pieces. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you were trying to get your pieces to be set up off-center with the other pieces so you could do more damage.
Mm, more like Soulforge, maybe.
Yeah, but then also different pieces were doing different things. So it was kind of just interesting.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to explain, but if you saw the fight, it would make perfect sense.
Well, everybody in podcast land could see what you're doing with your hands. And so, I can see it.
So picture my hands doing things.
Yeah.
And that's what.
And I'm still confused. I'm looking right at it. So.
Do you think that increased I'm actually more confused. The difficulty of winning the game, or was it just like a clever
play? See, it was just something unique and different. The thing with these adventures is the normal setting is relatively easy, and then the heroic difficulty is somewhere between just somewhat hard and almost impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I remember,
you gotta get the perfect draw.
Exactly. Like I would reset against some of these heroic ones. I would have to reset every turn to try to get the perfect draw to try to do it.
Yeah.
But the legendary basically usually gets you a card back, right?
You have to defeat all the legendaries in the whole adventure
to get the card back.
To get the card back.
There's so many card backs. Who cares anymore?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just an EPing thing. But you unlock all the cards just from beating it in normal mode. And then they have the class challenges like normal. So there was two class challenges after this wing. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I'm very happy with it.
So this is the single player only.
Single player only. This is, you know, they do one set of adventure and then one set of expansion. So this is the adventure set.
I really like the single player on Hearthstone because I don't play that much. I like in the single player, they give you the deck, so you don't have to worry about deck building at all.
Well, you do.
Oh, really?
So like I said, for Medivh's fight, they gave you the deck. They gave you Medivh's deck.
And then the class ones they do give you.
But so two of the fights in this new one, in this new wing, you have to create a deck.
Yeah.
But you can use one of your standard decks, obviously, if it works.
Usually it's a modified version of a standard deck, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. In this wing, I beat both of the ones that I needed a deck with just a standard deck. But if I went into a heroic, I would have to very specifically create a deck to do it.
Hmm. So, Chi, are you as close to I am as into installing WoW because of all these guys, what they're talking about lately?
No, not at all. I still have nightmares about playing that game.
It either gets you doesn't. Like, that's the thing about WoW. It's like you can't force yourself to get back into it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got to strike you. The mood has to strike you.
Yeah.
And it struck me last week.
So, if you guys have, how much have you played, would you say, since you reinstalled?
It's pretty much all I've been playing this week. I even cut down significantly on Heroes of the Storm and just played WoW. And, like, as soon as it came on, like, it just as quickly left. Like, the other day, I kind of reached a point where the level started coming a little slower, and I was just kind of over it at that point. And I don't know. I kind of lost the drive to continue to play. But this is the most WoW that I have played in years. I tried to get back into it about a year ago. Didn't really take. And everyone's playing it now with Legion coming out. But here's the funny thing. Like, everyone's into it because of Legion. I have not touched any Legion content, and I have not played the Demon Hunter. Like, I basically just started a new paladin and started leveling him up the old-fashioned way.
Well, you're years behind, too, though.
Yeah. So I'm trying to relearn the game, and they have changed the paladin class quite a bit. I'm sure other classes as well.
When did you quit WoW? Like, what
like playing heavily? See, I kind of left and then came back, and each time I came back, it was less and less that I had stayed with it. Mm-hmm. So the last time I really, really played, the level cap was 85.
Okay.
So what is that, Cataclysm?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't even keep track of that. I pretty much skipped Pandaria. And
Warlords of Draenor is completely missed. Pandaria's missed. Cataclysm was... That was the one that rechanged the map and readjusted a lot of things. So
you could use flying mounts in the old world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to say, I like what they've done with the game. I feel like they've cut out a lot of the boring, repetitive parts. However, the game still is very repetitive. Like, those first levels, it's just a straight up grind. And I'm going into this with some base knowledge, so I know, like, what I'm doing. It's just pretty much going through the motions for the first couple hours. I hit level 71, I think, on my paladin, so leveled them all the way up there, and I don't know if I'm going to continue with it, but did a lot of PvP, and I forgot how much fun PvP was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And WoW, like, it is... If I were to continue with this, that's what I would focus on, although I hear they're changing that a lot with Legion now, the way you get the PvP gear. You even can, like... You basically build PvP experience points, and then based on how much experience you have in PvP, you get new abilities, new armor, stuff like that. But yeah, it's been interesting. I don't know.
I had a fun playing with you.
Yeah. It was good to play with people. You know, it's difficult to. I really like what they've done now, where you can play with people on other servers, because that was always a challenge, and a challenge I'm still running into, because some other people recently got back into it, and finding characters you have that are similar levels so you can play together can be difficult.
Not a problem for Chad.
Yeah, you got them all over the place.
Yeah, I have a stable of 1 through 100 to choose from. So I jumped on with him... like Monday or Tuesday or something like that, and he was like into the low 30s, so I had a 31 hunter or something like that.
Cool.
So I jumped on and played with him for a while, and the way, like, you group up, it's pretty seamless. You don't realize, like, you're on somebody else's server or whatever. It's like you don't even realize until we found out later. So we played a little bit, and then we stopped, and then I played with him a couple days later, and he was already up into 40s. So I found a 40 paladin, which is unfortunate because he was also a paladin. Mm-hmm. But so he was like low 40s and I was mid 40s, for like 44 or something. So what we found out later is who's ever the higher level, the lower level person goes to the higher level server. And that 44 paladin happened to be on a PvP server. So we were trucking along and then just got completely face wrecked by a level hundreds.
Oh, that's awesome.
But two paladins, don't you put on your shield and just heart?
No, we didn't even see it coming.
Yeah, because he's on a PvE server, so he wasn't even thinking that he could be getting gannies or anything.
That's some of the appeal to World of Warcraft, though. Like, even getting, what's it called when you...
Ganked, right?
Ganked, yeah. Yeah. That it's like, I never really complained too much about getting ganked, because if it really got too bad, I just walked away from my computer.
Yeah.
And by then I would have known that guy was just out of my, out of the zone and bored with ganking me.
Well, you're only going to get ganked if you're a significantly lower level too. I don't know. The point I'm at now is, like, do I continue the $15 a month? Cause that's really not that much, I guess. I mean, 15 bucks a month, whatever.
And you did pre-order Legion,
half a month left, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I could finish out the month if I want. Is it something that I can just check into periodically, maybe do stuff in the auction house, like grind a quest while I'm waiting for a queue in Heroes of the Storm? I mean, is it something that I want to keep kind of on the back burner? Because I have a friend who plays... He played back when I played, like, 10 years ago, and he's never stopped, but his involvement in the game has kind of waxed and waned. So I don't know if... I don't know if I'm all or nothing with this game or what to do at this point. We'll find out in another couple weeks when the month is up.
But you did pre-order Legion, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because Legion comes out at the end of this month, so you're going to have to get next month, at least, if you want to play Legion content.
Yeah, that doesn't really appeal to me, though. It's like I have so much to catch up on WoW.
But you spent the $40.
Yeah, but you know, I just did that so I could get a Felsteed Mount in Heroes of the Storm.
That's so funny.
The truth comes out.
Yeah. It's funny because I actually quit like a week before Wrath of the Lich King came out, and they had already patched the WoW server, so so much of it was already transforming. And I think when that wave of change came, it was easier for me to just walk away.
That's all right. And they come out with these patches to kind of, or these big content updates to kind of bring more players in, but you're right, that totally makes it easy to break away, because that every time I quit playing or the time that I quit playing after, like, when I was really into it was when, not Wrath, but the one after it, was Burning Crusade, then Wrath? Maybe it was
Burning
Wrath.
Crusade, then Wrath.
Yeah, it was when Wrath came out. After that came out, like, I just felt like everything that I had worked so hard for was now nullified. I had to start again, and I was just like, well, this feels like a good stopping point. So it was a lot easier for me to walk away.
Was Cataclysm after Wrath?
Cataclysm was after Wrath, yeah.
So, Wrath got you up to 80, then Cataclysm got you up to 85.
Yeah, Burning Crusade got you up to 70.
Yep.
And that was Outland.
Yep.
So I remember all that. Then Wrath was Northrend.
And that got you up to 80.
Yeah.
And then Cataclysm got you up to 85. Mm-hmm. And then...
And now they're going to be up to 110, yeah. Which...
Chad, I think my hunter's like 66 last time I played.
Yeah.
You have a character around that?
Okay, sure I do. I guarantee you.
Like, when I used to play WoW, money was an issue. Now, not so much anymore. I'm like, okay, $15 a month isn't too much to keep this game locked and loaded in case I want to play a little bit.
Chad played it the whole time. He's been paying for years.
Probably.
Without stopping it.
Yeah, probably well, see, it's,
even when, it
when I checked on my server, it's about 38,000, 40,000 for a month subscription. Now, my highest level character before I bought a bunch of heirloom gear had exactly 40,000 gold, which, was a lot, I guess, when during Cataclysm. I mean, that was a good amount. I didn't really farm gold that much, but it was a good amount. So I don't know. On my other account, I've already made 3,000 gold just leveling up to 70. So I'm assuming like there's been a bit of inflation. And if you play quite a bit and actually, make an effort to make gold, then you can just pay for the account.
That's pretty great.
By itself. But, the other thing, too, is you can, because I pre-purchased Legion, I got a free upgrade where I can upgrade any character to 100 immediately. Now, when you do that, I mean, you miss out on a lot of things like working on your professions and, building some income for yourself and, like, getting gear. So you're at a disadvantage. You have a level 100 character, but... Also, you may not even know how to play the class because, I've had to relearn the Paladin and spending so many hours leveling up to 70. I've learned the abilities, spell rotation, everything like that. So,
which is something you had to teach me again.
Yeah.
Because I played that level 40 Paladin and I was like, okay, Bobby, what the hell do I do?
Yeah. That's funny.
He said, push this button and this button.
So each character, it's a learning process. And if you just upgrade automatically, you skip that. But here's the crazy thing. For $60, you can upgrade any character to level 100. Like, that's insane. I mean, they used to have illegal gray market services that did that for you, would power level your accounts back in the day. Some Chinese kid would, level your shit while you were at work, and then they'd steal all the shit in your account. But they would also, like, sell WoW accounts on eBay and shit. And now Blizzard, like, after condemning that for so long, now said, okay, there you go, $60. That's all it takes.
Well, if there's a market, they should be making the money, not...
Yeah, no, and I agree.
But... And I think they put some boundaries, like, they're not going to level you to 110. You're still going to have to do the Legion content.
Well, I don't know. When they come out with Legion, are they going to let you level straight to 110?
Can't imagine they would right off the bat, maybe later on.
Yeah, maybe, because right now 100 is the cap and you can buy that for $60. So I'm like at a point now where I'm just like, if I were seriously into this, I would just pay $60 a pop and level up my characters that I really want to play. Like, I wouldn't, how long it takes to level like 0 to 100?
Baller.
Fucking long time.
Yeah.
But you gotta,
That is the most fun for me, though. I love that level.
Hey, Chad, he has 99 characters, but a lich ain't one.
Yeah.
I am not into leveling characters.
I do have a demon hunter now.
Yeah, that is totally not my deal.
Oh, man, I love it. I love just getting in there, just putting levels in there.
I could just—I could play PvP all day, honestly. Yeah, and
somebody throw me a Scroll of Resurrection already.
I will.
Okay.
Or Bobby will.
Oh God! Now if you get back into it, it might pull me back in. Yeah. It's like a black hole. We're all just. But that's what's happening because Legion's
just remember a year from now, Bobby, who was the first one to start the whole thing about
it's
WoW?
It's funny because
do
all
whatever,
these other
just leave me out of it.
All these other expansions, the last three expansions, zero on my radar. Not even
I feel the same way.
But this one, for some reason, I don't know.
Well, because of Hearthstone's Heroes of the Storm, there's all this like tertiary sort of. WoW, Warcraft-related stuff. The movie came out.
Blizzard has like made quite an empire for themselves. But after playing WoW for the last week, I have realized like no MMO will ever compare to this.
Yeah.
There was a period where, especially Chad, you were trying out so many different MMOs and none of them really stuck. And I know I tried out quite a few and they all just kind of paled in comparison. But definitely after playing WoW, it's like if I'm going to play an MMO, it's going to be World of Warcraft. No question about it.
Yeah.
Cool.
True. Very true.
Let's move on.
All right, what else we got?
We got TI6, which I'm torn. Before we get into TI6, I've been trying to get my way through the championships. Not trying in the fact that it's difficult to do, but trying in the fact that it takes up so much time to go through all these games. So I'm still like 4 days behind.
See, I don't know why you watch every single game, though. For each set, like honestly, like out of all the TI game, all the games I've watched in the tournament, there were three games that I'd say are worth watching.
So I'm a big fan of OG because that has Moonmander, which is my favorite player. And then EG is also the team that I like to watch because EG had that like they're mostly US based first of all, and they have kind of like a good story.
Well, also,
around
if
them.
You watch a whole tournament. There's a story told.
Yeah.
You know, you have winners, losers, you got comebacks, you got, you know, there's a whole.
Yeah, but if you're just watching VODs, you aren't getting the in between stuff
it's
that
true.
Happens.
Mm-hmm. It's
you
true.
You miss out on some of that.
So EG, OG, and then DC, Digital Chaos, because they're a US based company mm-hmm. or group. So those were kind of. So I've basically been watching any of the games that have one of those three and been trying to go through and watch it all. Obviously, there's a bunch of other teams, but I'm not really interested. But that being said, let's just talk about it. We're going to spoil it for everybody, including myself. So if you don't want to know who wins TI6, you know, fast forward a couple minutes. So Bobby, what do we got? What's it down to? What was top four? Do you know what top four is? You want to pull it up?
Yeah,
so
I'll pull
see?
Up the brackets.
Ooh, can we pull that up without seeing?
No, I'm saying it's going to be spoiled for me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the team that won the whole thing was Wings, a Chinese team that was not favored at all, really. But they performed incredibly well, went through the winner's bracket and won it. They won the grand finals against Digital Chaos, who...
Wow.
One of their players, Weeha. Okay.
But he goes by W33.
Yeah, W33, otherwise Weeha. He had quite a story, you know, kind of one of those rags to riches things going on with that team. So them performing so well was pretty important. They beat out EG. EG took third place. That was tough to watch. Very even game on that. Game three in that one was a really tough one. EG went with a certain style, and there's so many styles in Dota. Like, that's what's amazing about that game. There's so many different ways to play that game mm-hmm. and to counter. It's just, I mean, compared to Heroes of the Storm, where it's just like, well, everyone's basically doing the same thing, and the map is what changes, you know? So you have to learn the maps really well. But DC basically countered them by ratting, which was a term that I was not familiar with. Rat is where you just try to... basically sneak towers and barracks without engaging in any team fights. So they would send one character up to just like push as hard as he possibly could while escaping just in the nick of time. So they were able to take the third game with that strategy. Probably the best game of the tournament was the first one versus Ehome and Evil Geniuses.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, that was a game.
There was one that was on maybe the 10th or so. There was just some amazing games.
Hold on, guys, before you keep going, I think she's got to.
Yeah,
she's got to go.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, somebody's watching this.
Yeah,
a lot of fucking money.
Just to wrap this up, so Bobby, you want to tell us what the prize pool was on this? I heard the first place got $10 million. Is that right? How was that broken down again?
Let me look that up. I don't think it was $10 million, but the overall prize pool was over $20 million. I think first place got $8
million. Oh, okay. $8
million. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did notice out there it says $20,770,000. For that one,
for the grand
I feel like
prize pool.
This is going to cap out.
Oh
here.
Wow! First one got $9.1 million. That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't feel like Dota's growing enough that the TI is going to grow next year.
They've done meaning more than this.
Yeah,
this has. I agree. It's kind of
I feel
leveled
this is
up.
Peaked.
But Valve can still do new ways to try to increase the pool. You know, they'd do the compendium this year, maybe if they find unique ways to get people interested. I really want to do the compendium next year. I'm so mad that I didn't do it this year because, like, the announcers were talking about how you have, like, this draft pool that you get to pick from getting points based on how they've performed during the day and all.
So is the compendium
really
basically predicting who's going to get first through 16th or whatever?
No, well, maybe. I'm not sure. I haven't really gotten into it yet.
Because they do that for Heroes of the Dorm, where you basically, they call it the bracket, where you just say, okay, this person's going to win this game, that person's going to win this game, and you
no,
just go down the line.
I think the compendium's a whole complex sort of thing, because they're talking about fantasy value for each players and stuff like that.
Yeah, I thought it was more like fantasy football.
I think it is, but I think you have to purchase, I don't know, cards or whatever to be able to...
Let's talk about it when we know.
Yeah, but we're not going to even have a chance for another year. Yeah. So I'm just really bummed with myself for not having done it this year.
Yeah. Well, do you think fantasy leagues are going to be more involved in esports, though? Because that seems like it'd go hand in hand.
For sure. For sure, I think it is.
Dota 2 is only exciting one time a year, and this is it. So
But I do majors.
I completely disagree. The majors are a lot of fun.
But you watch WoW all day. You don't watch this. And there's got to be a reason.
You mean zone. League of Legends?
Yeah. I mean League of Legends.
Mm-hmm. Well, because right now the league, like I said, the way it's set up, League of Legends does seasons and they have weekly matchups, and it's like a sport. This is like UFC. Mm. So UFC 200 was really, you know, was really highly hyped, like an international.
Gotcha.
But you, as a UFC fan, you're still watching the Friday night fights and all the other ones. That's like a Dota fan watching the majors or even some of the smaller tournaments. But they are all tournament-based. There is no season with Dota, which is something that's kind of frustrating.
All right. Man, those games are long. I watched a lot of WoW. Or not WoW. Heroes of the Storm, like competitive play. And going to Dota, I'm kind of half paying attention for the first 20 minutes. Cause
sometimes I just scroll through to see when the kill score goes up. Because sometimes it'll go like 10 minutes without a team fight or anything like that.
Some slow games.
Yeah.
All right. More in the news. Overwatch.
One of the biggest problems with Overwatch, one of the biggest complaints was your tick rate. I guess they were at 20 megahertz or 22 megahertz, something like that. And most competitive shooters are at 60. So they're putting in an option where you can run at 60 megahertz.
No, they did an option for custom game. They liked how that's going, so they're rolling it out just for standard, for everything.
Right, so how does that change what
it's
I just
not
said?
It's not optional. It's now going to be at 60.
And then they said in the later patch they want to make it custom, where you could set it due to how your internet connection is.
Hmm.
So
The thing is, people can't have different settings. Because if somebody's at 20,
it's Blizzard, man.
It's got to be based on the server. You know, that was a big issue when the game first came out, and they did put it in custom games. You could enable that option, and a lot of people said they had trouble with it. But Blizzard encouraged people to use it, test it out, talk about their problems so they could start working on it, so eventually they could work it into the game. And, you know, the line has been that every other competitive shooter has a 60 tick rate. But really, I played a lot of Battlefield 4, and when you're looking for a server in Battlefield 4, it'll say this server is at 60, this server is at 24, and the majority of them are not at 60. Like, a lot of these competitive shooters are capable of that, but actually very few servers run it at that rate because You have to have a really fast connection, and it's, you know, it's more expensive to have that feature on your server. So a lot of them are running at 24, and I think Overwatch runs at 22 or somewhere 20, somewhere around there.
And another thing that she said was that a lot of players, it's kind of something everybody's gleamed onto, that the tick rate is a certain, is the reason that this, this, and this happen, and they're not necessarily right about that.
It's become a scapegoat.
And you are correct, Amino. It says the high bandwidth option has been, that was just custom games, has been now is being rolled out for all play modes, but it is an option.
Right.
The high bandwidth option changes it from 21
to 63. I know we were talking about this last time we played. Do you know what those little icons mean that keep glowing in the top left of the screen?
One of them with the lightning bolt and the kind of arrow thing, I think, is your connection. Your connection's bad or whatever. But then there's one that looks like three pages.
Yeah, three pages.
And I have no idea what that one does.
Yeah, I'm very confused by those icons.
It's something that maybe we could look up if somebody had access to the internet.
While he's doing that, I'll talk about the next item. The new Elder Scrolls game is not going to even be announced until it is ready for launch, is what Bethesda says. So no teasing. No, nothing, basically. But usually what does happen is certain voice actors will be hired, and some people extrapolate when and what's going to happen by that. Or sometimes it's like you can see that they bought this or they bought that. So you could see that it's happening, but it's kind of metadata, and you're extrapolating that they're working on it. So they're obviously working on it if they said this. And we're probably not going to hear much about it until it is actually out. But I'm not going to be jumping on the hype train for this one because, you know, Fallout 4, I had so much riding on it. And for me, it wasn't what I expected. It wasn't as good as 3 for me. So
this is the next one after Skyrim,
after
right?
After Skyrim, right? Okay. Yeah.
But I feel like this isn't even necessary. Skyrim hasn't even really completed its life cycle. I mean, everybody's still playing that game, modding that game. I mean, it's still like a healthy, you know, played game.
Yeah, it's definitely on its downward spiral or downward. Yeah. I wouldn't call it
a spiral, but yeah, it's on its way out. But
yeah,
I don't know.
But you know, if they're just talking, you know how long it takes to make these fucking games. Like it's going to be 4 years, so who knows if they're a year into it or whatever. But I just thought that was interesting. I'd rather it that way. I'd rather it be like,
yeah.
What else came out like that? Like Left 4 Dead 2 was just out. Nobody knew it was in development. They had just released one, and then they're like, hey, check this out. It's even way better than the first one. And we're like, whoa, okay, sweet. So it's nice when they do that. I don't know if it impacts sales if there's no lead up or hype train.
So the going back to Overwatch, the lightning bolt with the circular arrow is an icon that pulses when your client hasn't heard from the server for a period longer than your interpolation delay. And then the three pages one will pulse when packet loss is detected.
Both are bad.
Both of them are potentially issues, but they're not game breaking. You know,
packet loss, not to get too technical. I mean, that's just part of gaming. The type of protocol they use for online games is one that doesn't like guarantee that your packets make it to the destination. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. I constantly see those icons in Overwatch and
maybe I don't notice them because I'm so
they're very
focused.
Small and they're kind of transparent. So, I mean, they aren't that noticeable.
According to the to Blizzard, they say the thresholds for these icons are currently tuned down very low and will pulse when there isn't necessarily a problem. This threshold may change. So I think, you know, it's early in the game, and I think they're still just figuring out the best way to approach things. So I get those constantly, both those icons. They're just almost always up on my screen.
Bobby, are there any characters you still haven't played once?
I think I played everybody once, but I think there's a couple characters that I've only played once.
Yeah, that's how I was with the fast girl, the one that...
Tracer.
Yeah, and I recently played her for a day, and I just started wrecking, and I was like, oh, wow, maybe there is something to this girl. Yeah. Well, obviously there is. People play her very, very well. Mm-hmm. But I was having fun, and it's funny that it's kind of like a whole new game once you... pick up something that you haven't done for a while.
Yeah, it really is. Because those assault classes, they kind of make or break the game. You know, they're really, you know, I play a lot of Reinhardt, and, you know, Reinhardt's fun and all, but he just enables the other characters to do their thing. And I started playing more assault classes, and it was exactly. It was like, felt like a whole new game, and like, I felt like I had more of a say in how the game was going. So it did make the experience a little bit better for me.
All the pieces need to be there, but all the pieces come to the game at a different angle. So, and some literally, like Reaper literally works on angles nobody else can get to. You know, he gets behind and above the enemy team.
Yeah.
Which is why good Reapers, you don't really see until they die all over your face.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hooking them during that, because I play Roadhog almost exclusively. Hooking them during their die is so much fun.
Yeah, new Reapers, you can always tell someone's new on Reaper because they overestimate that ability. They think they're invincible.
Yeah.
So,
Bobby, you want to cover this next one?
The Nauseous Rift is not a real item, but something
that we know of.
Yeah, I hope not. But it's a fake product that Ubisoft put a advertisement out for that would be coming out with South Park: The Fractured But Whole. It is
way to use the emphasis.
He did it perfectly.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That's what it's called.
I would say the fractured butthole.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it is a device like the Oculus Rift, except it lets you smell in-game
farts.
Yes,
specifically and farts.
Since all your character, I guess all.
No,
your,
one of the new. I think the new character has a fart mechanic.
Your character, well,
yeah. Wasn't that how it was in the?
Yeah.
In the first one.
You
yeah.
harness the power. You haven't played that game, huh?
No, I haven't played
that. Dude, it's a good.
It's
game.
Worth the playthrough. Yeah. It definitely is.
You know that part of Undertale where a Flowey like changes the game and it looks completely different, like claymation. Yep. There's a part in that game where like there's like an old when you're fighting the Nazis, Bobby. Mm-hmm. It like doesn't even seem like it's part of that game. Those are the two times where I was like, "The fuck is this?" It looked like an old video play. I don't know. It's a fucking great game though. It'll keep you laughing.
Yeah, it is a fun game. But yeah, check that out. Nauseous Rift.
Yep.
Funny
stuff. It was humorous. And the dude, when he's trying to like gag, but he's got the device on his face. There's some good parts in that.
So we have an update. We have our hardware on the way so that we can, we're going to be doing some exclusive, Patreon content. I thought we were going to do it a long time ago, but Bobby has to have everything perfect. So, we ordered some.
Damn you, Bobby.
Yeah. So it's funny because the Patreon money went straight into the hardware that is going to be conducive towards the Patreon exclusive content. It'll also be working towards the regular podcast because it's going to be better for when we do interviews and stuff.
And it's going to allow us to do more stuff like what Chad's been doing where, he'll have like some audio that we work into the show. We haven't had the possibility to take like calls over Skype and stuff too. So we might have a little more flexibility with having other people on for brief segments.
Well, Bobby, it's when you know our robot actually does his
port. Robot.
Yeah, the robot.
Not when Chad. I don't know what you guys are talking
about.
Chad works closely with the robot.
Yes. Roa hasn't been on his game, though, a couple weeks without him.
This is true.
He's been on strike.
And are we all done?
You want to talk about what we're playing this next week?
I want to play
World of Warcraft.
Yeah. If somebody throws me a Resurrection Scroll, I'll probably throw one.
Bobby probably should because I, you know, have some time with that. I don't need more time on WoW, so we'll figure it out.
But if that doesn't happen, XCOM 2 has been staring at me in the face. I want to play it so bad, Bobby. It's your game too. I played off your account. I think.
You know what's crazy? I didn't even play more than 2 hours into XCOM 2. For no good reason.
Yeah, no fault of its own.
Yeah, I guess it's just like, you know, I already did this with XCOM 1, so I got a little burned out on it. But, yeah, that's on sale right now, and it is an excellent game, especially if you haven't played the first one. I don't know if I'm going to be playing it anytime soon. I definitely want to play some more Overcooked.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I'd play more right now.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I got to get home.
I am going to be playing some Transistor, hopefully, because Transistor is our game of the month.
And you're probably way...
and I am going to start over.
No more game of the month. It's the DL Game Club game.
The DL Game Club game.
Yeah, we can. It's more going by seasons.
Yeah. So Transistor, I'm going to play the new Wing of Karazhan when it pops up. And I honestly, I have a copy of No Man's Sky console, so I really kind of want to play it. So I'm not sure. Based on your ringing endorsement, I'm not sure if I'm paying the $60 on computer or play the version I have on consoles. So
you know what's interesting is I wonder if I wouldn't have played it more, but you would have played it off my account, and then I could keep it under the 2 hour level for 14 days.
It doesn't even show up on mine, and I don't think it shows up until you have done the 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because when you were playing it, I tried to download it so I could play it when you weren't on.
Yeah.
And it didn't even show up.
Yeah.
No, they thought this thing's out.
Those Valve guys, they seem to know what they're doing.
Clever. They know what they're doing.
One step ahead of us.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Yeah, so, I think that's it.
Yeah. Bobby, nothing else?
No, I don't know what I'm going to get into. I'm hoping...
Wow, we already covered this.
Yeah, we'll see about that. But if not WoW, then I'm hoping to get back into Heroes of the Storm because I've been severely lacking in that.
No. Yeah. No, let's not do that.
I got to keep the skill level up.
Can you at least try to do it competitively? Let's see what you can do.
Although the season is ending, so now's the time where I really got to start playing more ranked play, but I don't know. I'm so rusty at this point. But I don't know. We'll see what I get into. Maybe I'll find a good single-player game. There's nothing really out right now. It's kind of a slow time for PC games.
And that's what I was going to say about XCOM 2 and why we didn't play it. Because when it came out, it was a whirlwind of fucking amazing shit coming out.
Was.
And now we're paying for that. So maybe it's time to go back to that whirlwind.
Blizzard, though. It is a slow period.
Not to the Blizzard.
Yeah.
We looked at for games coming out this week, and nothing. Yeah. It was like a... High noon situation.
Yeah,
going on.
There's just one that looked pretty sweet. It's called Mother Russia Bleeds. It looked kind of cool. So, besides that, yeah. So, anyway, speaking for Chad, Bobby, and myself,
and Chi.
That's bye, Chi. Let's do scales. Titties, 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 titties. That was a falsetto at the end there.
That was horrible.
Falsetto. All right, bye, everybody.